Philip Bowles preaching the gospel 7 p.m. next Lord's Day evening. There's many things Philip's going to need in his role as pastor. He doesn't need the title. He knows that. But it'll say Pastor Philip Bowles will be along 7 p.m. next Lord's Day evening. It's going to take the form of a farewell service as well. Philip will be singing, of course. Man of many talents. Philip and Esther, it will take the form of a farewell meeting, as Philip then, due to leave us shortly, and Esther take up the pastorate of Kilray Baptist Church. So that will be a meeting to come to, 7 p.m. next Lord's Day evening. Both meetings, of course, next Lord's Day, preceded by prayer, 10:20 in the morning and 6:20 in the evening. Also remember, please, the AGM is on Wednesday evening, 7:30, the 21st of the month, that is Wednesday week. All our meetings, of course, are announced subject to the Lord's will. Can I just also ask you just to please remember the measures that we are taking to ensure everyone's safety and welfare as we meet together again. Use the hand sanitizers. Remember the distancing. I was told off this morning, and rightly so, because of where I sat, and I had to move, and I wasn't offended, because that's right and proper. The deacons have you seated at suitable distance, recommended distance, and we would ask you to continue to work with them in that regard, please. Also, when you're leaving the building, those at the front leave by the side, those at the back leave by the main door. Also remember that the wearing of masks is mandatory in all parts of the building, annex and outer hall as well, and at all times, including singing. And we would ask you to give due consideration to others. We want all to be confident with the measures that we have in place. And regardless of where you might be seated in the building, we would like to think that everybody feels safe whilst they're here. And that's why we have these measures in place. And we thank all for working along with us in this regard. That's all I have to say by way of announcements. Our opening hymn tonight is hymn number 17. I was going to say the hymn number. God loved the world of sinners lost, ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost he offers free to all. Oh, t'was love, t'was wondrous love. Love of God to me brought my Saviour from above to die in Calvary. Let's stand and sing this great old hymn, please.
Oh,
prayer, please. Seek the Lord's face and ask for his blessing as we seek to preach the gospel this evening. Our God and Heavenly Father, in the precious, worthy name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow ourselves before thee another time. Our Father, we thank thee for the blessings of this another Lord's Day. And our Father, we thank thee for the enablement to be out so many this evening under the sound of the gospel. We thank thee for what we have been singing this evening, the theme of our song, the theme of our message tonight. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me, brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. Our Father, we thank thee tonight for the gospel message that we have to proclaim, how that Christ receiveth sinful man. And we want to tell that story o'er and o'er again. And our Father, to this end we pray that thou wilt bless us tonight, that as we sing these hymns, and as Robbie would sing, and in the words that we preach tonight from thy word, our Father, we pray that it might indeed be sounded forth with reality and indeed clarity and simplicity. Yea, that the very youngest might understand, but that it might go forth too in power, great power. We pray that we'll know the Lord's help this evening as we would seek to do justice to this great message of salvation. Help us, our Father, we pray, to tell it out in all its grandeur and to tell it out in all the sweet strains that it has. And our Father, we pray that it might bless each and every hearer tonight, whether saved or unsaved. As Colin prayed earlier in the prayer meeting, that it might thrill the soul also of believers. And our Father, we pray indeed that it might arrest the unsaved tonight. And our Father, we pray that it might penetrate some darkened heart and mind this evening. And our Father, to this end, we pray for those gathered together this evening with us, or maybe listening in, who as yet do not know thee as Saviour and Lord. We pray, our Father, that there might be words tonight whereby they might be saved. A word that will create that anxious thought. A word, our Father, that will cause action to be taken. The step to be taken, yea, the step of faith. We pray this evening that thou will bless the proclamation of the gospel here tonight. We pray that thou bless it in all our places tonight. Think of Dennis tonight in Portadown. May he know that help from thyself as he preaches this evening. Pray for all others, those that occupy this pulpit from time to time, and help us here, and we thank thee for them. We pray for such tonight in other places, other venues, proclaiming the gospel. We pray that they too will know that help from thyself, that the gospel in the province tonight will go forth in mighty power here and in church hall and gospel hall up and down our province. Thy servants might be blessed. Stand before people tonight as men sent from God with a message from the Lord. We pray for such this evening, that there might indeed be many new names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that there might be joy tonight in the presence of the angels of heaven over sinners coming to repentance. And to this end, we pray that thou wilt give us that help. Mindful, our Father, this evening, of many shut in these days, remember those this evening. Remember the elderly, the dear ones, who were always around in earlier days. We thank thee for them and pray thou bless them in the eventide of life. Pray for those bereaved in recent times that thou wilt draw near. Our Father, our needs are great and varied. Thou canst meet all our need. And our Father, we pray for ourselves right now, for this hour that's before us, that something great will happen in our meeting this evening, that something extraordinary will happen. Our Father, we pray that we might see days and hear of days of people responding and crying unto thee for salvation as a result of our gospel meetings. We pray that thou wilt indeed be pleased to turn thy face again and blessing upon this province. cause thy face to shine, and the Spirit of God might move, men and women, boys and girls, awaken to their need of salvation, and cry out, sirs, what must I do to be saved? We pray for thy help tonight. From the outset of our meeting, from the opening hymn to our closing amen, may we know the presence and help of God. For we ask it in our Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen. Amen. It's good to have Robbie here this evening. Singing too, Robbie?
I don't know whether they're good or not.
Singing too, and then one later on. Thank you.
I tell you one thing, I don't like singing from here for a start. I'd rather be up with you, but no room to say there, no.
You want?
I wish you'd have sent up a smirk. So if we make a few mistakes here, you'll know this mic here. So I was talking to the boys at the back there. The music doesn't seem to be coming up anywhere near me, but no matter. You're sitting there, you're sitting at the back. These first two pieces, Kneel at the Cross and Redeemed, I'm going to sing to both of them as one, all right.
Redeemed by my love to proclaim, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am.
This evening, somebody must be praying against me or something. Right, go on ahead. We'll never do it before.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. Listen to his voice, leave with him your care. And begin life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there.
Kneel at the cross, there is
kneel at the cross. leave every care, kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. At the cross where I first saw light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. And now I am happy all the day. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will lead you there.
There's no secrets in the next one. Maybe we get through it. You know what's happened? My mate's away and left me. That's what has happened. He's away tonight. There you are. Right, okay. Boat's away too.
The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Oh, was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you.
Song this evening, and he's coming later, a little later, to bring us another piece. I just happened over here yesterday on TV, somebody saying that the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, was someone who was always there in their lifetime, always there and ever present. And Robbie Hare, is one of those people in my life, like a lot of the elderly and senior ones of our church here, people that from my earliest days have always been there. I used to recognize Robbie as a face in the annex in Windsor Avenue days when we were boys. Then curiously, something I always remembered. I came from the model school one day, primary school, heading down Lock Road to my granny's, and I had to stop at the top of Victoria Street. And standing on the edge of the footpath, and a car came up from Victoria Street, and I recognised the man in it. It was Robbie. And as he went past me and up into William Street, just as he turned the corner, he recognised me, you know, and he waved at me. And, you know, just that acknowledgement as a lad, a wee kid, I thought that was great. The man from our church recognised me and waved at me. And I always remembered that. But that has been Robbie over the years, you know. He has encouraged so many of the young ones of this church here, and he's always been there and has been a great encourager of young ones down through the years. We thank him for his ministry. Good to see him still going strong, and he's coming again shortly to bring his final peace. We're going to sing a great old hymn now, if we can, please. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let's stand again to sing, please.
Yeah.
was saying something there about me. I'm going to say something about him now. I can remember in the old church in Windsor Avenue, the third row up from the pulpit was occupied with the whole Carson family. Mother and father. Many boys had you? Many? Five boys and one girl. And they were there every Sunday morning in the third row. So there you are. That's it. He thought I was going to say something bad about it, but I'll say that after when I see him on his own. If I can't sing this one, I'm a quit. All was there for you. Beautiful piece. I can remember one night just about there when the organist was waiting on the choir coming into practice. He was going over a wee piece, and this is a piece that he had that night. I took it home with me, and I've sang it ever since. That's about 8, 9 years ago. I was there the night I said goodbye to him. Wonderful man of God. Praise God for the day he ever arrived here. I would think perhaps it's about his wife tonight as we'd maybe pray later on this evening. All was there for me, right.
All was there for me. Watching over me night and day, all is there for me, meeting all my needs. I know Jesus will always care.
Over me night and day.
Well, thanks to Robbie again for his ministry and song this evening. I want to read tonight from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Very familiar passage, I'm sure, to many. In fact, probably all. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Luke 15, reading from verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come. Thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said unto him, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" We pray the Lord will bless the reading of Holy Scripture again this evening. The parables that we have in Luke 15, taken together, the three, are all to do with how the lost is found. The first couple of parables would stress the seeking love of God. This parable at the end, the parable of the prodigal son, as we call it, is bringing before us the pardoning love of God. The first two, foolishly lost or carelessly lost, is silver. And we read how that they're searched for. The sheep is an object of pity. The silver is an object of value. One's in danger and one's in the dark. And it takes painful toil for the shepherd to search for his sheep. And again, their strivings. They send for a light to find a coin, and that light would remind us of the Holy Spirit and the strivings of the Holy Spirit to find a coin. But the son is willfully lost, and he's in distress, and it's the teaching of the parable is the tender love of the father towards the wayward son. It's a parable to do with the father's heart. I want to look at it this evening in a curious way. Well, maybe that's not the right way to put it. You may be saying to yourself, Carson, you're curious anyway at the best of times. Well, I want to look at it this evening by listening. You see, I noticed that there are voices. It's the way the Savior tells this parable, it's like it's written in recorded conversations. We began our reading, and it says that he said a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said, so we hear the younger son's voice, and the younger of them said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. What I'm calling an inner voice, because again of the younger son, it says he came to himself, and we hear him thinking out loud, if you like. So that's an inner voice. Then we hear the father's voice, and then we also hear the servant's voice, and we hear the elder son's voice. We mightn't get looking at them all, but just listening to the conversations tells us so much about the parable. You see, the first voice I think you hear in this house is what I'm calling a voice of rebellion. A voice of rebellion. There's a rebel voice in the house. The son says, give me. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He wants to get away from the government of the father's house. He wants to get away from parental control. He wants a liberty. He wants life, real life, so he thinks. The voice would indicate even like a pride. He knows better than his father. He can manage for himself. Give me. You know, rebellion in our Bible, we find it as early as Genesis chapter 3, don't we? Rebellion in Genesis chapter 3, man's disobedience to God. And sin entered. In Romans 5 and 12 sets out clearly the effect that that had. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death has passed upon all men for all have sinned. We see rebellion in the next generation, Cain. He doesn't want to come God's way. He's going to do things my way, just like the elder brother in Luke 15. Cain's a rebel. In Genesis 6, it says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his heart was only evil continually. So we see rebellion worldwide. And then post the flood, we see rebellion in Babel. We're going to make a tower. We're going to do things our own way. Esau, Edom, and so it goes on. Rebellion. In Isaiah chapter 1, God says, I have nourished thee and brought up children. They have rebelled against me. Unsaved in the meeting tonight. Rebelling against God. Going your own way. The far country. It says he packed up, he gathered all together and took his journey into the far country. And he did things his way. And he wasted his substance and riotous living. The far country, by definition, I believe, speaks of a world of sin without God. A world of sin without God. And I wonder tonight, are you here? And that's the life that you're living. Or maybe tonight, younger person, that's a life that appeals to you without God, without the restrictions of home. Ah, if you could get away, you would really live in the far country. You want to do things your way. I read one time a while ago that the most requested song in the crematorium is My Way. Think of that. That song that Sinatra used to sing. It was a big hit, no wonder. Written by a man of the world. Performed, sang by a man of the world on the world stage, his audience, the people of the world. And its content, the thought processes of a man without God. I'll do it my way. Imagine people, so many, choosing to go out with the strains of, I did it my way. My goodness. How sad that is. How sad to live that way. How terrible to die that way. Doing things my way. A rebel. Not going to go God's way. No, no. I did it all. Is that the way it goes? Much more than this. I did it my way. While disorderly living without thought of God, without thought of tomorrow. But the book also says, you know, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I sat in Sunday school class, and just to my left, that text used to be on the wall. I must have read it every Sunday afternoon. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we find that's the experience of the younger son. He spent his substance in riotous living. Then it says, and there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He went in and joined himself to a citizen of that country, sent him into the fields to feed swine. How low he became, how low God brought him down. Fancy a Jew, such a degrading job. Famine in the land, and he begins to be in great want. How true are the words? Laugh and the world will laugh with you. Cry and you cry alone. That's his experience. And that's where we find him. And that's where rebellion has brought him. The voice of rebellion. A man far away from God. I wonder, is there someone like that here tonight? You've traveled far away from God. Wandered far away from God. Then I see another voice in this passage. I'm calling it the voice of reason. It says in verse 17, he came to himself. He came to himself. How many hard servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You know, when a sinner comes to himself, he has reached a place where grace can much more abound. It says in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And he's thinking now. He's thinking differently now. Voice of reason. Whenever I started to work at 18, I worked with a man who was my father's age, obviously, but he had a son at 18. He actually worked in the same place. He started along with me in a different department. But on a Monday morning, the father said to me one Monday morning, he says, "Alan, what time did you come in on Saturday night? What time did you come home?" I said, 10 past 11. He sort of looked at me a bit startled. Well, that was easy, you see. My girlfriend had to be in it for 11, so I was home at 10 past 11. But it turned out that his son wasn't coming home at all. Then on another Monday morning, he says, "Alan, I suppose you're looking to get yourself a motorbike." I says, "No, I'm not interested in motorbikes." So it became apparent, you know, that he was a man and he was having great difficulty with his son at home. Then he came in one Monday morning and he had been speaking to another father. And he said, "There's a man telling me at the weekend, when your son is 18, he thinks his father knows nothing. When he reaches about 21, he's surprised at how much the old man has learned in 3 years." He came to himself. I'm not saying he was 18 and then he spent 3 years in the far country or anything like that. No, no. I don't know how long he was in the far country, but he reached that place where the old man, maybe not as stupid as I thought. He came to himself. You know, I think it's a great thing. Wouldn't it be a great thing if more men and women and boys and girls were to reach this point? I think this is the anxious thought that we hear so often prayed for in the prayer meeting. Here is an awakening to his need. He's thinking now, and he's thinking differently now. He has learned things the hard way. He sits and he thinks, how many hard sermons have my father prayed? It wasn't so bad at home, maybe, after all. In the far country, not everything is cracked up to be. He says, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to say, 'I've sinned against heaven in thy sight. No more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" He's perishing. He realizes that. "I perish," he says. I believe we see here someone who's convicted of a sin. You know, conviction of sin is not conversion. It's not yet confession or repentance, no. He's sort of rehearsing in his mind what he'll do and what he'll say. Voice of reason. I was thinking of that verse in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. God says, "Come." God says to the people of Isaiah's day, sinful nation, he says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." What's the subject for consideration? "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, as white as wool." Reason. Tell me, are you here tonight and have you ever reasoned with God? He says, "I've sinned against heaven." Not just the Father. "I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against God." I heard a young lady one night give her testimony. She talked about being under conviction of sin. Don't often hear that today. And she says she was under conviction of sin for months, maybe even years, before she even realized it. She had lost interest in the party scene and the nightclub scene. And she had lost interest to going out with her friends to the far country. The point I want to make is this. Here's a man and he reasons. But that's not sufficient, you know. In fact, that's a very precarious position. How sad it is for people who get to this place, but no further. There are some verses of hymns that I used to hear in early days that stuck with me. Verses maybe that were weighty and caused me to remember them. One of them was this, not even the first verse or the second verse, I don't think of the hymn, but one that said, "O sinner, the Spirit is striving with thee. What if he should strive nevermore? But leave thee alone in thy darkness to dwell in sight of the heavenly shore." You see, here's a man in the Spirit striving with him. He rehearses what he'll do. You can reach that spot and not take a step, though. I tell you, that's dangerous ground. The voice of reason. I used to think that was the pivotal verse. He came to himself. I've sort of changed my thinking on it. I think the pivotal verse, well, tonight anyway, I'm convinced the pivotal verse is verse 20. He arose and came. He arose and came. That's taking the step. That's recognizing your need. That's realizing you're perishing. That's conviction, all right, but then there's the taking of the next step. And I wonder tonight, are there some here, and maybe you can identify what I've just been saying. Maybe you were there at one time in your life. I used to hear people give their testimony and say they were going to meetings. And frequently you heard this expression, "I knew I ought to get saved. I realized I should have been saved at those meetings. But I put it off." I tell you, it's dangerous ground. To quench the strivings of the Spirit of God, you might never get another opportunity. The voice of rebellion, the voice of reason. What about the voice of repentance? It says he arose and he went. Conviction is not conversion. It requires action. This man didn't know how he'd be received, or if he didn't know how their father would react or what his reception might be. He's taken a step of faith. Repentance is more than just mere words. It's a turning. It's an about turn. And that's why I say I think the pivotal point in this message, the story, is this. When he got to the point where it says he arose and came, that was it. He arose and came. Another hymn that always stuck with me. I don't know why. Again, it's not the first verse of the hymn or the second. You're inclined to get to know a first verse maybe and then a second verse. But another verse that they used to sing at Ardmore. "My old companions, fare ye well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. I will go. I'm going this way. I'm leaving the far country behind me. The friends have left me anyway. Well, they can go to hell. But I'm taking a step in this direction. And I'm just going to place my reliance on the Father's heart, and the Father's love, and the Father's mercy, and the Father's grace." That's what's required. In order to be saved, friend, that's what you need to do. You need to take a step of faith. And he came, and it says, he arose and went, and he came to his father. But what a lovely verse this is. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, Wrong. The old man wrong. Fell on his neck and kissed him. Someone has put it like this. The father expresses his kindness before the son could even express words of repentance. Scripture says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, John 6:37. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's the manner in which he was received. The theme of Luke's gospel. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This passage is all about how the lost are found. The Father comes, running. We read and hear the voice of repentance, a full and free confession. No excuses. Just an acknowledgement of guilt. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. No more worthy to be called thy son. He just casts himself on the pure mercy and grace of God. And when you do that, you know he forgives fully, frankly, and forever. Isaiah 55 says, let the wicked forsake his way. And that's what he did. The unrighteous man has thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, for he shall have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's the message of the gospel, isn't it? Pardon. Available. Pardon from an offended God. Pardon for sins of deepest dye. Pardon bestowed through Jesus' blood. Pardon that brings the rebel nigh. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? Oh, what a picture of God's love. What a picture of the Father's heart. I have sinned. The Father doesn't speak back. It's not recorded. Here's this confession. No recorded word. I wonder what the Father said back. That was between him and the Father. You see, in the moment of salvation, it's just between you and the Savior. No one else. The Father ran from the house. How far did he run? I don't know. There was that moment when it was just the Son and the Father together. Had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. No one else. So it is for salvation. No preachers or pastors or anything like that required. Just get to the Savior. Take the step of faith and trust in him. What about the voice of reconciliation? Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Man's sin, you know, results in alienation from God and enmity with God. Man requires reconciliation. God's position hasn't changed. It's man who sinned. God's the reconciler, not the one to be reconciled. Man requires reconciliation. And Christ is the one who effects reconciliation by the death, by his death on the cross. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. What's more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Reconciliation. Ah. The Father speaks to the servants. He says, bring forth the best robe. The best robe, put it on him. Robe speaks of salvation. Isaiah 61, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me in the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. That's the Old Testament. What about the New? Revelation 7. These are they. These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. The garment, I believe, speaks of salvation. Yeah, he's got it. How did he get it? He did more than just be convicted of sin. He stepped out and he turned his back on the old ways. And he turned his back on the far country. He took a step of faith. And he just placed his trust in the Father's love. That's the means of salvation, friend. That's the way you'll get it tonight. Take the guilty sinner's place. I have sinned. Not worthy of anything. Not worthy of grace or mercy. I have sinned. Voice of reconciliation. Bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Shoes on his feet. Then he says this. Bring forth the fatted calf. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. I'm calling this a voice of rejoicing. Let us eat and be merry. Why? For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. Ah, but now he's found. How are the lost found? How can you turn from death unto life? John 5 and 24. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It's he that heareth my word and believeth. That's the way of God's so great salvation. They began to be merry. There's something begins, you know. They began to be merry. We don't read where it ever ended. They began to be merry. A continuous joy in eternal salvation. They began to be merry. It never ends. The unsaved tonight in the meeting. All God's people, you know, they have a joy that you know nothing about. We have much to be merry for. We live in the good of God's so great salvation. We can say it's well with my soul tonight. Come what must, as old Pastor Mull used to say, come what must or what may. We're ready and prepared to meet God. Very quickly, I also see a voice of redemption. You see, the elder son wondered what all the commotion was about. What's the music and dancing? He didn't like the sound of it, particularly when he heard the voice of redemption. The servant. The servant just preaches the gospel. What was the servant's message? I think it was the message of redemption. The servant just said, "Thy brother has come. Your father has killed the fatted calf because he's received him, safe and sound. That which is lost, he's found." We as the servants of God, that's the message that we proclaim. How the lost can be found. The message of redemption. The message of redemption. What a wonderful story. Redemption, a wonderful story, glad message for you and for me, that Jesus has purchased our pardon and paid all the debt on the tree. Believe it. O sinner, believe it. Receive the glad message, 'tis true. Trust now in a crucified Savior. Salvation he offers to you. the story of redemption. The servant, oh, this elder brother, what's going on? He just tells him the wonderful story of redemption, and he didn't like it. You see, this parable is preached, the Savior's talking to the publicans and sinners, and also in the company of the scribes and the Pharisees. The elder brother says, I'm not going in. This is the voice of religion. I'm not going in. This is the voice of the self-righteous. I'm not going in. The son, the younger brother left. The younger son left and came home again. He went in. Now the man that didn't leave at all, he wouldn't go in. He says, verse 29, he says to his father, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Here's a man who's depending on good works. He's angry. He doesn't like the message of salvation. He doesn't like the message of grace. Oh, he thinks he can merit it. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not of works. Lest any man should boast, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is a way of death. Don't be dependent on works tonight. Don't be dependent on works tonight. The elder brother refused to go in. This evening, come like the prodigal come. Come and confess your guilt. Come in true repentance. And get to the Lord's feet. And recognize that the one who died on the center tree, he died for me. He used to sing, was it for me? He bowed his head upon that cross and freely shed his precious blood, that crimson tide. Was it for me the Savior died? And I used to watch people when I was a kid. They sort of bounced on their tiptoes as they belted out, it was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free, O wondrous love, I shout and sing, he died for me, my Lord and King. Oh, that's where you'll find salvation. He arose and came, just the way he was, just as I am, without complaint. But that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Younger son, tell us how you got saved. He'd say, I was a guilty sinner. Jesus died for me. Let's sing in closing a great old hymn. I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Let's stand to sing this great hymn. we pray tonight, should there be one in the far country tonight, out on the mountains, wild and bare, and far from the shepherd's tender care, we pray tonight they'll come home. Come home, ye who are weary. Come home. We thank thee, our Father, that we are assured from thy word that him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Our Father, we pray that there might be some this evening who will take that giant step, small step, yet a great giant step of faith. Decide for heaven tonight. Decide for home. Trust Christ. Pray, our Father, that thou wilt bless thy word, that thou wilt bury it deep down in the hearts and minds, far beyond the reach of the enemy, that thou wilt be pleased to use it in the conviction and salvation of some soul in the meeting tonight. We thank thee for the blessings of this another Lord's Day. We pray as we take our leave, that thou wilt be with us, go before us, take care of us, be with us, till we meet again. In our Saviour's worthy and precious name, amen.